The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, Reading. Ted Leidy here in for Carl Bott. Just want to say that I am honored to be trusted with the show this morning. I've got some great guests, and we're going to have some great talk this morning. The first thing I'm going to do, though, is say good morning to all my friends over at the House of Realty. House of Realty, one of the oldest brokerages, if not the oldest brokerage in Reading. The Middleton family have had that brokerage for many, many, many years, since 1965, actually. And I remember that because that's the year I was born. So 57, going on 58 years, and they have the respect of all the other brokerages in town, and have moved in our economic circles and in the real estate industry for, you know, over half a century now. So good morning, House of Realty. All right, let's start with the weather. Christine was nice enough to bring this weather page into me. Remember, weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. Give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793, Shasta Gas Propane. All right, today we've got a 40% chance of showers, mainly after 11, so it's going to be building this morning. Mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Light variable wind becoming south, 5 to 9 miles per hour in the afternoon. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch are possible. Tonight, we move to a 40% chance of showers. Cloudy with a low around 50. South-southwest wind around 8 miles per hour. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers after 11 a.m., high near 61. So we've gone from, we were in the mid-90s. Last week, I believe, down to a high of 61. This weekend, mostly cloudy. Low around 48 on Saturday. Looks like a high around 61 also. So right around 60 with chance of shower. So if you're an active person and it's time to, you can get out and do a run or go get a round of golf in or whatever, in the time that you have between showers, then I suggest you go do it because, you know, what's right around the corner, is 110, 115. So this could be the last two raw. May's normally a pretty good month, and June is pretty good too. You know, people get married in June all the time. So, good month to get married in because, it's the last of the cool months. In July, I try to get on a motorcycle and go north as far as I can. This July, we're going to go up to Banff on a pretty long trip. I think it's about 4,000 miles there and back, clear up into Canada. So July, August, good time to plan your vacation. If you haven't done it yet, maybe you whip out your calendar and take a look at what July and August have in store for you. You know it's going to be hot here. It's the same every year. We go, like, with no rain from 15 June probably until October. And so I'm on the countdown to October. I'm going to love my summer, right? I mean, I'm just going to, you know, go out on the lake with my sons and do some stuff like that also. But, I'm on the countdown to October. And one of the reasons for that is because, you know, I'm a gun instructor. So we're on the gun range of the Reading Gun Club. And the Reading Gun Club is a fine, fine facility. But one thing we do not have is, air conditioning outside. You know, that would just be too expensive, the big fans and all that. So we start earlier at the Reading Gun Club in the summer, and we will end earlier normally. All right. My special guest this morning is my good friend and fellow gun instructor, Brian Rehm. You have your recurring theme. I always bring the gun instructors in, right? I think it's cool, right? Patriot, great American, business advisor at the Shasta Cascade Small Business Development Center. Right here in Reading. And, you know, I have an interest in small business because, as you know, small business, runs all communities, every community. And anytime I can get someone in here to talk about either their small business or bring in a real small business advisor, I think I'm going to jump at the chance. So good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Ted.
Absolutely. You know, you and I have been good friends for a long, long time now. Moved here in 2016.
Yes, sir.
Came from Virginia, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Somewhere out near the NRA headquarters.
Right by the NRA headquarters.
Yeah, so...
So we hit it off. We hit it off there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's where you learned your... You begin to master your craft with the NRA out there, and that's really cool. A quick story about how Brian and I met. Brian took a class for a CCW, of course, when he got here, and I was the instructor, thank goodness, because, you know, I don't know how it would have worked otherwise. And so I'm on this gun range, looking down the range at, you know, what is normally people learning how to manage their firearms. And there's Brian down there on the end of the gun range looking like John Wick Jr., you know. And I'm like, man, that dude down there, he's either a cop in my class, or someone some FBI agent trying to qualify, and he needs my qualification. So I'm going to go ask him a few open-ended and fact-finding questions. And, so after talking to you, you know, I found that you were already an instructor and that you'd be, you know, maybe interested in coming on board with NFI, Northern Firearms Instruction, our company. And, it's just been a great thing ever since. You run the advanced program for us. You do all of our step two, step three carbine classes, everything that is beyond a step one CCW, you do it. And I used to run that myself, and it was nice to find somebody that I thought was master, you know, enough to go and develop those curriculums and turn them into something that they really are. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Hey, I came up here, I looked for the best, I found the best, and that was NFI.
That's what I'm talking about right there. So since I'm on the subject of the firearms training, and we'll come back to the small business stuff because I'm real interested in that too. And we have it's going to be a long show this morning. You teach at least once a month. I know that.
Yeah.
Sometimes twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
You teach advanced CCW and carbine for us. So talk me through the advanced CCW program and how you dovetail that into what they learn in basic.
Well, I think it was Sheriff Pasenko that got rid of the holster requirement. And I think generally the holsters, instructors agreed that that was probably, a good thing as far as introduction to CCW. And so I think the gap was, we realized with our students as they'd come back for renewals, they were intimidated by, producing their firearm from concealment, which is kind of a big part of the CCW, you know, mantra. You're carrying a firearm in concealment for your personal protection. And so it wasn't a big issue, but we realized that there are students that just were uncomfortable, or they wanted, like me, they wanted to know the right way to do it so they could make sure they build that correct muscle memory. And so it wasn't that students necessarily were doing things unsafe, but they were just curious and really seeking further instruction on how to do it the most effectively and efficiently, in the most effective and efficient way. So NFI had a step two before, had an advanced pistol course before, and so I, you know, came and asked you, hey, could I take this on and take a look at the curriculum again and redevelop that curriculum? And so we developed that class just focused on producing your firearm from concealment. And so our step two class is really kind of the next step in the roadmap for students to further their firearms proficiency by focusing exclusively on producing the firearm from concealment. So that's all we do. It's a four-hour class. It's a really, really fun class. And we just focus on producing that firearm from concealment, because that really is a building block. I mean, in a life-critical situation, you want to know that you can get that firearm out efficiently, effectively, as fast as possible, and as safe as possible, so that it can be used for your personal protection. And then after that, we have a step three class, which, as you know, is more of a real-world, realistic class, where in the real world, it's not the OK Corral. You're not standing in some alley face-to-face counting down from 10. You know, it's happening in different situations, different scenarios. You don't get to choose the time or place. So we're really focused on non-conventional type shooting, shooting behind barricades, shooting from other types of positions, a little bit of movement, stressing really vocal commands, the things that you're most likely to encounter in the real world. That's what the step three is all about.
I took the step three. You know, all the instructors come up and you taught a step three in October. And let me tell you, that was no joke. That was no joke.
It's a challenging, fun class.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Fun fact too, you know, Brian has all these obstacles and, you know, things that we have to shoot through and land on the ground and crawl in and roll in and all kinds of, and I had a great time, but I was the first one to put a hole in his brand new obstacle. I haven't signed it. And he said to us, don't shoot my obstacle. And I'm like, oh, I won't. I'm good. Oh yeah. I popped a hole in it. What's what happens is you begin timing us. Yeah. You know, I mean, things right. go awry, and that's just the clock.
Yeah.
That's just the clock. That's not even anything big, right? That's not someone trying to kill you. That's just the clock that stresses you.
And we like to put the timer on because it produces that stress that we can't really recreate in a classroom environment.
Right.
You know, you can't really ever recreate that life critical emotion and stress. So timer does a pretty good job. Students do a good job of putting it on themselves as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, we'll be right back. I'm going to talk some more about that, but we're going to take a break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is a community bank dedicated to the professionals, committed to providing the highest level of personal service. Cornerstone has three branches, 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff, 1845 California Street, and 150 East Cypress Avenue. You can also visit them online at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Get ready, comedy fans, to spend an evening busting at the seams with comedian, actor, and writer Nick Swardson. Best known for his roles on Reno 911, Grandma's Boy, and his own comedy shows Pretend Time and Typical Rick. Nick Swardson will take you on a journey of smells and laughter. So grab your tickets today. Thursday, May 25th, the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center will be filled with laughter. Tickets start at just $40 plus fees. Visit WindRiver.com for complete details. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hey, Redding, what's better than an ooey-gooey cheesy sandwich? How about five different ooey-gooey cheesy sandwiches? Black Bear Diner just launched their limited-time ooey-gooey cheesy choices that'll cover you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Come on in and try one of those delicious sandwiches today.
Black Bear Diner. When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy here and for Carl Bott. Carl and Linda are on assignment somewhere. Not really sure what that means, but I'm sure it's very, very, very important. And so,
they're having fun. That's what we
yeah,
know.
I was honored and trusted to take over the show this morning. I love hosting Free Fire Radio. I was just talking to Brian about how important this radio station is as a voice for everybody. And Brian was brought up the fact that Carl and Linda have people on from all over the different, I mean, from every spectrum,
yep,
right, in life. And from both sides, you know, politically. And I've been in here interviewing some potential politicians, some candidates for office. And very, very fair, very balanced. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, a liberal or conservative. And so that's why I picked you, Brian, because since you've been with the company, you've just like a nice steadying force. Just, you know, put it on glide path and let's get this right. Treat everybody with respect and decency. And your message about presenting the firearm is incredible. And so before I move on to how that came about, you mentioned earlier that Tom Bosenko, our sheriff, had done away with the holster requirement. And that was at the request of us, because when we go to basic CCW, when you go to basic CCW, you're not sure how you're going to carry that firearm, what kind of firearm you're going to use. Sometimes you'll show up to our class with no firearm, and what'll happen is we'll rent you at no charge a firearm, and you'll go through the basic class with my firearm. Then you got to go buy a firearm and come back and qualify with it so you can put it on your permit. So during the journey, forcing them into one carry mode, right, which is normally outside the waistband hip holster, then causing them to buy a holster for, you know, $1,500, and plus the class is expensive, the firearm's expensive, the ammunition's expensive, everything's expensive, right? We wanted to focus on the manipulation of the firearm, the shooting it straight and safe, right, the loading, the unloading, the clearing a misfire, you know, the different types of misfires, all the different things that we thought we could teach in a 12, because that was 12 hours back then, in a 12-hour class. You cannot teach all of that plus holster work like you do in a 12-hour class. Yep. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you find yourself slicing thin your training concepts, right? And so I was so happy when you came on board to do that. And that's just all you do is that. I mean, you do fill in for us, CCW, and, you know, when I ask, and thank you very much for that. But you have taken that program, the presentation piece and the movement piece and the tactical thinking piece and all that, and really brought it to the forefront as far as curriculum goes. And in the entire company, you're just the only one that really does it all the time. So,
And I agree with that decision for the holster, because if students come thinking they know exactly what they want, the first thing they realize is, no, they don't.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We just don't know enough. And so I agree with that. For the intro level CCW, that's why you and I, we created that roadmap. And I think what we're really trying to stress to students is that to be a continuous learner.
Yep.
Stay humble. I'm always learning new things. And so, you know, you can go from knowing nothing, and through our class progression, you can become very proficient. And so that's what I'm excited about. I meet a lot of people that think their experience is everything. And it's like, oh, wow, this is eye-opening to hear different perspectives, or they read something or they hear something on YouTube. And just to be able to give them another perspective, I think, is important. And then provide the classes that allow them to progress and become as efficient as they can. Obviously, we want everyone to exercise their Second Amendment freedom, but we want them to do it in a manner that is going to be safe for themselves.
And the community.
And the community.
Yeah.
And so that's the point of personal protection. And so I think these classes are really focused on allowing anyone, whether you're starting from the beginning and you go through the progression, or you've been caring for decades and want to learn or have a different perspective, to enter and insert yourself and then keep progressing in your journey of learning. And that's the most important, I think, that you and I both agree on.
Oh, yeah.
Just be a lifelong learner. Be humble enough to be a beginner again.
Yep.
Especially when it comes to personal protection, because everything is always changing, getting better, getting changed, and we just need to be open to new ideas.
Absolutely. And that's the key. Be curious. I'm curious. All right, we've got a caller. Nick is on the line. Nick, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ted. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Good morning, sir. I'll always take your call.
Hey, listen, I'm sure everybody's aware of the fact that our Board of Supervisors have elected to go with a hand count, and Kathy Darling Allen is throwing up all the roadblocks that she can. And one of them is that we would have to vet so many people to do the hand count. And I came up with the idea that you couldn't vet people anymore than the CCW carriers. So we've already got a pool of about 10,000 potential vote counters there. What do you think of that, Ted? How well are the CCW carriers vetted?
Well, those 10,000, actually it's over 10,000 now, Nick, and thanks for that. Your comment this morning is great. You know, CCW carriers, number one, have to go through a rigorous process at the Sheriff's Department, right? So they come to us, they go through a program, 1 or 2 days, Brian and I teach it, then they go to the Sheriff's Office, and then the Sheriff does a complete background check on them using a live scan. And really, if you have a license as a physician or a heart surgeon and you've been dispensing drugs out of your office, the live scan that you do to carry a firearm is even more detailed and comprehensive than that, okay? Because you're carrying a firearm, the world's most powerful tool, on your body, walking into government buildings and moving through our community as a protector. So once the sheriff gets done with you, because he's going to go through his background, he's going to send that live scan out to Department of Justice and the FBI, background check system. And then only when it comes back completely clean and approved will you be issued a permit to carry the world's most powerful tool in your body. So, yeah, as far as vetting goes, I mean, I'm sure there are people that are maybe more vetted. I don't even know if that's a term, but we're going to use it this morning because you know what I'm talking about. But the 10,500 or so that have CCWs are definitely, some of your best in the city. That's why whenever we get pulled over in the city, my advice is all in the city or even the county or anywhere, my advice always to, hey, hand out that permit along with your other documents so that the law enforcement official who is doing the most dangerous thing he can do, which is a traffic stop, can feel a little more comfortable with you knowing you've been vetted through the sheriff's office. You've done your time, so to speak. And so, that's a great point. And you know what? Finding the people to count those votes, you're not gonna have a hard time finding the people to count those votes. You're just gonna have to ask for volunteers, and then I would go through the vetting system. Whatever she wanted to do, I would go pay the money and do it. And then I'd pay for my neighbor too if he wanted to do it.
One more thing, you guys were talking about holsters.
Yep.
I pack a 357 Airlight 357 Magnum Smith & Wesson.
Sure.
And I prefer a belly holster.
Yep.
And I nicknamed my gun Tumor because if, God forbid, I ever have to shoot somebody, it's going to feel like a tumor burst. So when somebody mentions, what's that bulge, I tell them a tumor, and they pretty much drop it right there. Have a great day.
All right, Nick. Take care, brother. I'll see you soon. All right. So, one of my favorite people right there, his son, he's got a show here. Mm-hmm. And then his son and I play roller hockey.
Oh, fun.
Big League Dreams together. And he's a great guy. Actually, he's my barber also.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you notice I changed my hairstyle. You know why I changed my hairstyle? Yep. Because it turned gray on the sides and I had to cut it off.
So I'm back.
Don't be ashamed of the gray.
I'm back to my high and tight days. Back in the Army.
Gray is a sign of wisdom, Ted.
Oh, I know. Yeah, look at my so-called beard. Of course, not everybody could be like you and Steven.
Yeah, I have my gray, and I wear it. Yeah. My gray is more prominent because my hair is black. So.
Yeah, you can barely see it though. You can barely see your gray. You look like if you guys could see Brian Rehm, he's like a walking Asian Ken doll, right? He looks like Jackie Chan and David Cassidy had a love child. That's what he looks like to me.
And you know, people are coloring their hair silver. It's like, you know,
oh, I know, yeah, yeah.
It's and you're true. Like, hey, look at my hair. I already got it done.
Yeah, true. And you know what? You're right. The alternative is way worse. The alternative is way worse. All right. We are going to take a break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, 222-2750. You know it's Mother's Day next weekend, so Four Winds Jewelry, 222-2750. We'll be right back.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
The Vaisakhi Festival and Day of Nonviolence is Saturday, May 6th from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson. This free event is an important multicultural and educational event in Shasta County, organized by the Sikh Center. The Vaisakhi Festival will feature multiple vendors, workshops, and live demonstrations. Come enjoy free Punjabi food and multicultural music while learning about the Sikh history, Sikh martial arts, and Native American practices. The Vaisakhi Festival will present speakers from various agencies. It's free and open to the public and free activities for kids. The Vaisakhi Festival and Day of Nonviolence, Saturday, May 6th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event is co-sponsored by the United Way, Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, Reciproca, Shasta Interfaith, and KCNR Radio.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlu's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlu's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlu's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlu's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlu's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlu's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlu's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlu's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlu's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlu's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter. Matter.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. During the break, Brian and I were talking about the different progressions of Step 2 classes for CCW and the Step 3 classes. But before we get into that, I want to remind you of the weather. Of course, the weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Today, it's going to be not chilly, but high near 64. I got a jacket on. Brian's got a jacket on. We have matching jackets today, except for his is...
Burgundy.
Yeah, very nice. Mine's black, you know. I gotta start getting into the colors. I got so much black. I got a black shirt on, I got a black jacket. I always buy black, you know.
It's safe.
Yeah, it's black safe. Is safe. It works all the time. Tonight, low of 50. Okay, so definitely. We have our Zoom call tonight. You can be on it or not.
I'm going to try.
Yeah. You didn't opt in, so let me know, because I don't think anybody else has opted in. You got to opt into the Zoom call before I get on there and wait, because a couple times I've been waiting. I know you read the email, right? Nobody was there. Not mandated, but fun, if you have the hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the hour. So, of course, we're getting a little new precipitation tonight. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain, high near 61. The weekend's going to be mostly cloudy and, as Mike Kruger says, unsettled, with a high near 61s in the 60s, lows in the 40s. So, should be a pretty good weekend if you're active, because I don't, you know, when it gets hot, I don't like to be active, but cool weather is nice. Of course, weather's always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. Chuck Kenny gives senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793. Personal testimonial. My dad got Shasta Gas Propane about 2 years ago, and he can't be happier. He left another company. So, Shasta Gas Propane, keeping their customers warm. All right. So, Brian, I'm talking with Brian Ream, advanced firearms instructor for Northern Firearms Instruction, and, of course, the business advisor over at the Shasta Cascade Small Business Development Center. So we were talking about Step 3, and that's going well. How often do you teach your carbine classes?
Carbine classes are twice a year.
And so those are AR style. Yeah.
So what I started to do this year, which turned out to be wildly successful, was to do a weekend, because I had some people traveling up from out of town, and they wanted to do both the intro and the level one is what we call it. So, Saturday we teach the intro to AR carbine, and that's really for people who maybe have shot rifles before but are new to the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an 8-hour class, 4 hours in the classroom, and then 4 hours on the range. And then Sunday we teach the next level, and that one is another 8-hour class. And that was the first time I taught that in a weekend style, and it worked out really, really well. The class this past the time was pouring rain all 8 hours, but it was a blast. We had so much fun. We probably shot 500 rounds, the students just left super, super happy, which is the most important thing to me. But I felt like they learned a lot of skills, and the rain really exposed the weaknesses of however our setup was. Even myself, I came home and realized my flashlight no longer worked. Well, my actuator button had peeled off and rain got in it, and it no longer worked. So I really like doing that training in a realistic fashion with your gear, because you begin to really use it and expose the weakest link and understand, okay, this didn't work, this didn't work. And so I saw students changing how they were carrying their AR, changing things on their gun, taking things off, because it looks cool on the gun, but when you have to hold it for 8 hours,
right,
it gets heavy. And so that's what I really love about the class is, hey, you bring your gun and use your gun and figure out how it really works. So that's twice a year. The next one is going to be in December, and I think it's just going to be a lot of fun.
December. So is that a full weekend?
It's another full weekend, yes. Yeah. So we do intro on Saturday, and then we'll do Sunday as the level one, and you can only take just one if you want. Maybe you don't need the intro and you want to come for level one. Or maybe you want to do the whole weekend or just take the intro. That's fine as well. There's a discount for taking the weekend package as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And, you know, we have a host hotel. We've always gone to the Oxford Suites, and they have a, promo code for NFI students and instructors. And, That promo code is NFI Instructor, by the way, if you want to give it out. You probably already have in your post. I haven't seen it. But we talked about that way, a long time ago, doing the destination style two-day mm-hmm. getaway weekend thing, and I'm glad that that you're putting it together and making it work, because I think Redding's a great place to visit, and I think people will come here especially for that level of training that you provide, which is, you know, top of the top in our industry. I get around the entire state and really the nation and look at instructors all the time, and your classes are just so spot on, right? It's just a thing of beauty to watch. So you're going to think this is funny. When we first came up with the advanced program, 2010 or 9, something like that, way back when, you know, Carl and I, Ted Ogilvy was in our first class. Of course, now he's a staple in our company.
Right.
But what we decided we were going to do, I don't know what we were thinking, was we were going to work 2 days plus the night in the middle. And so what we did was we did advanced, you know, kind of like you do it, except for we had the whole, all the bays set up with, you know, that was our idea of advanced. We didn't understand back then that we first had to get the basics down hard, right? Mm-hmm. 1,000 strokes out of our holster before we could do anything else. But anyway, we had all this fun stuff. Then we had a nighttime obstacle course. So we went out to a ranch and we talked someone into letting us come out there, right? and we made a fire. And we cooked food on sticks, and then we trained with in low light scenarios with just flashlights and firearms on it. We made up a gun range. It was probably 5 firing points. We called 10 students, right? Coach, pupil, and we drilled for a while with just flashlights. No, there was no car light. The only light we had was from the fire. Then, I mean, this is me, Carl. Ogilvy might have been past his then advanced class and an instructor then, and all of these other guys, right? Bob Shaw, Pete Ray, all the guys who are in the NFI Hall of Fame. And then they had an obstacle course, and what we did was we set up targets through a wooded, like a 40-acre parcel, right? And all you had for light was your flashlight, and you had your pistol, of course. And we had targets set up, just like we have them set up now in the gun range, but we used glint tape, you know, reflector tape, red mm-hmm. and green. So they had to select their friendly and threat targets as they were moving through this dark trail that we had set up, right? And the instructor could see the trail because of the red and green glint tape all the way down it. And the student could also. But Carl said it was the most hair-raising moments of his life. You know, Carl's been through combat like 22 times, right? I mean, Marine light colonel, right? He said, Ted, that was hair-raising. He goes, I had my hand on that student, and I could feel them shaking through their body, right? Because, I mean, some of these guys don't even walk around in the dark. I got them a handgun in their hand, holding the flashlight, right, and making it happen. But we actually did that twice. And I always thought that would be fun to bring something back. I mean, that's high adventure. That's right. Why people spend the money on training, mm-hmm. right? So they could be stretched like
right.
that. Challenged, right? Not stretched.
I'm sure I join with all the listeners saying, when is that class coming?
Oh, back? I know, yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. But we were tired.
Yeah.
It was, you know, between 500 and 750 rounds after we were done. I mean, we wore them out.
Yep.
We wore ourselves out. In fact, the recovery time on that class was so long, we quit doing it.
Yeah.
Because it would be the middle of the next week before we could, you know, recover.
Emotionally spent. But I love that idea. I would love to do a low light class because that's real. I mean, things go bump where? In the night.
Right.
And when do predators attack? During the nighttime, usually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so understanding how to use a flashlight well, how to identify, I think that's really, really important. That's real world stuff. So I would love to see that because I think students will benefit from that stress and learning how to manage their firearm in that situation, I think, is really important.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's one of the reasons why we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But we got so much mission creep. It was like we were sitting around a table going, okay, and then this. Oh, okay, and then that. Yeah, and then we'll do this. Yeah. Oh, and at night. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're going to do that. Oh, we need extra batteries because, you know, we're going to be out there a long time. Yeah. And as an instructor, you want to see if you're on your game, do it at night.
Yeah.
Because you can't see. You can't see the firearms, right? You want to, but you can't because it's dark. So all you see is a light and a muzzle of a gun. And as soon as the light goes off, that gun is, you know, as instructors, we're taught to watch the muzzle from the muzzle to the holster, from the holster out of the holster, on target, you know, engage, come back, scan, assess, in the holster, right? We're taught, and every student, every time, well, at night you can't do that.
Right.
So you have to be really sharp on your commands. And, mm-hmm. and as soon as someone gets off track, you need to be on them.
Because so I think, you know, low light is where I think that, that can progress because you're doing it right around, you know, sunset. There's still a little bit of ambient light, enough ambient light, but they can see the effectiveness of their flashlight. But I'm with you. I don't want to come home and be stressed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And have to unwind for 3 weeks. So I think there's a compromise. And that's what I've learned as an instructor. And this is what I learned with the NRA is, you know, you can teach your curriculum, but if you can't replicate it repeatedly, because that's what builds your student body and that's what builds your reputation, you got to be able to do things consistently. And if at a high level of excellence every time you do it.
Right.
And so if your curriculum stack is way too complicated and way too stressful, and it was luck that you got through it well.
Yes.
It's probably not a good curriculum.
I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was 3 years into or 2 years of being a gun instructor, so I had no idea what I was doing. I knew enough to be safe, but I didn't really, And we were stretching those skills thin.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we were moving from one to the next. We were doing barricades and we were doing, what were we doing? Room clearing, barricades in the first set one class. I mean, it was just dumb. But it was fun. And I'll tell you what, if there is someone listening now that said, I remember that class, I was in it. Jerry Butler was in it, the Snap-on guy here in town, and good friend of mine. And, he was in that first class and he could probably tell you, yeah, it was fantastic. It was a great class, but we don't do it now, but we should. You know, we should develop it. I love what you said about repeating the curriculum because that makes you better. That makes you a master of that curriculum instead of you learning, you know, learning skills just like they are and trying to make it up as you go. Because students can tell, you know, students can tell. All right, we're going to take a break. This session, this portion of the show is brought to you by guess who? Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time. Actually, that's not true, Carl. We have done it for the past 10 years, but for a limited time. And if I will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course, you can register online by calling me at 999-999-1822 or better yet, go to usgunpro.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., Tribal Chairman of the Redding Rancheria. We are so proud to have partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Rodeo Week, featuring an opening prayer and national anthem, all in traditional Native languages. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community, so we couldn't be more excited by this partnership, from grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events. We are invested in the community and its people. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Hi friends, RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Esteban Carreras Chupacabra, 10th Anniversary. A medium to full-bodied gem. The 10th anniversary comes wrapped in an oily San Andres leaf. Nicaraguan filler and binder round out a beautiful complex smoke. With notes of cocoa, pepper, nuts, and earth. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman of the Reading Rancheria. We are so proud to have partnered with the Reading Rodeo Association for Rodeo Week, featuring an opening prayer and national anthem, all in traditional native languages. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community, so we couldn't be more excited by this partnership, from grants to help local businesses and government, to making healthcare available to so many, to our own community events. We are invested in the community and its people. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
We got our bump music back. Good choice, Christine. Journey is a classic, and good choice. I'll also love the Eagles, Bob Seger, and some hair bands, right? Because I'm a child of the 80s.
But you can't go wrong with Journey.
No, you cannot go wrong with Journey.
I mean,
everybody knows Journey.
Everybody
right?
knows.
You're 102, Journey. or you're two. You for Journey, right? Which is awesome. But the bump music. I live for the bump music. I don't know why. Is that weird?
You love music.
I do love music. I get up in the morning and I've got a Bluetooth speaker in my bathroom. I put it on while I'm getting ready. And my wife says I love the chaos from my Army career. You know, I just love, I love the sound and movement around me.
No, I remember the first time I was setting up a range with you, you brought out your Bluetooth speaker and you started pumping it. And I was like, all right, I like this.
Yeah.
I can get behind this.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, right? Yeah. I love the chaos. I just love the movement. I think it, everything is festive to me, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. I think everybody should have that outlook, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everything is festive. Where's the party?
Makes it better. Yeah. Music does make things better anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And people that are happy and smiling. You know, I when I teach classes, one of my, especially instructors, because, you know, I teach a lot of instructors. When I teach instructors, one of my underlying themes is how the brain gets ready to learn. Right? Because since we were born, the brain knows when it's going to learn something. And we're like sponges, right? When we're babies, of course, through, let's say, 10, you're learning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to learn. Because, you know, in 8 short years, you're going to be voting. So let's hope you've learned something, right? So, after 10. So the brain uses stimulus, especially stimulus it's familiar with, to prepare to learn. So, you know, we pay a lot of money for books. Right. That's why books are such a big deal. And that's why they, you know, especially us, because you and I learned out of books, right? Mm-hmm. They don't learn out of books as much, but they still have books. When you open a book, smell a book, look at a page, feel the page, listen to it, all that, that's all, sensual. That's all, stimuli coming in and the brain is preparing to learn. Music is one of the ways the brain prepares to learn. And you know how you can tell? Because, it invokes memory and it invokes clear memory. You can probably, if you're thinking about it, remember the first time you heard that song, or even how old you were, or what you were driving, or in school, or wherever. And so, you were learning back then, and that music helped you learn, and so it also invoked a memory. So I'm so big on mastering your craft as an instructor and how we prepare to learn, mm-hmm. how the body prepares to learn. And you can do it in a lot of different ways, but the sense of smell and hearing is the two I feel are the most important. People think, oh, no, it's your eyes. Yeah, but you see all day,
right?
You see different things all day. You see so many images all day, millions and millions of images every single day. So, but you don't hear that song every single day,
right?
And so it's just kind of an interesting concept there. But anyway, let's go ahead and get back to you. We were talking at break about your son, Elijah, and I've watched you go down his journey as mm-hmm. a young man, and I know you're very, very proud of him. And he is a pitcher at Foothill High School and going to college next year, mm-hmm. and that's going to be an emotional time for your family, I'm sure, because you guys have a very close family.
Yeah.
And I love that. I don't think there's enough of that. I wish my family, of course, we're close, but you can always be closer. And so tell us a little about Elijah and about his journey and where he's thinking about going to college.
Yeah, he's been passionate about baseball for quite a while, since, Little League, when he was doing machine pitch, and, we wanted to expose him. I never played baseball in high school or at all. I was more like sandlot stuff. Mm-hmm. Sure. I played soccer, so I kind of pushed him to soccer. But, my wife and I were like, well, let's let him choose. So we exposed him to as many different sports as possible, and he just gravitated to baseball. And he was a lefty, and so everyone was like, he needs to be a pitcher, a left-handed pitcher. And so we were like, well, we'll let him decide. And he just continued on his journey, and he fell in love with the game. And the thing I love about my son is he's a hard worker. Like, he comes to work. He's so self-motivated. So he's been working hard. We don't ever have to tell him you need to go work out. We don't have to tell him you need to go practice. Sometimes it's like, hey, throttle back, buddy.
right.
But he's a senior this year, so it's very sad for us to see his high school career ending. But we know he's going to continue to play, so we get to watch him now at the next level. He's trying to decide between Sac City College, Folsom, and Santa Barbara and Butte. And so we're visiting Folsom this weekend, and hopefully we'll make a decision. But it's been fun to just see him grow, and something clicked at COVID where he realized, okay, I really need to step up my game. I think it's fun when your kids have that moment of aha and they become self-motivated. They own it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where before it's like the parents pushing them. And there was a moment during that time of COVID where it clicked for him, and he was like, I need to own my destiny. I'm going to be serious about this. I'm going to put in the work. And as a parent, you're just like, that's awesome. Like, we can guide you, but we can't do it for you.
Right.
So he's always been super, super open and motivated in that way. And so we're excited to see what the future holds for him. We're really, really, really proud of him. We feel like he has a good chance to, to just keep playing after high school.
Right on. Then, yeah, and I've enjoyed watching your journey with him, because I know we talk about it mm-hmm. so much. All right, so first off, let me apologize to Terry and Ron. I left them on hold there. I got totally involved in my conversation. Ron, you on the line still?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry about that. My apologies, sir.
Okay. My question is, what do you think about open carry?
So I like open carry. Let me put it to you this way, and we may have to hang on after the break. I want to talk about this. So open carry in concept is a good idea. It's going to come if it ever came to California, which, of course, it won't. But I like it. I love constitutional carry. I'm a freedom guy, right? If you go to my classroom, I have a bourbon bar in my classroom. We teach guns. We don't drink. That's freedom and responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. I have it if I want it, and I have it sometime when I'm doing work or whatever. But the freedom of it is I'm responsible enough not to drink while I'm teaching guns or even with a gun in my hand, right? So open carry is a freedom decision, which I really like, and I know that people in this county have talked about it, including some elected officials, and I stand behind them if that's what they want to do. When you open carry, though, here's what happens. There are all sorts of organizations that do not want you open carrying in their on their premises because of their other customers who might not like open guns. So it could restrict where you carried a gun, open carry. That's kind of the backward, you know, the backwards of it, the double-edged sword piece of it is, you know, some places like, well, I don't mind if they carry a gun concealed, but I don't want them carrying a gun around my customers in the store because I don't think that they'll be comfortable with that, right? So they could restrict your carry at that point. And we just want to make sure that doesn't happen. But yeah, I'm a freedom person, man. I'm a constitutionalist. If the sheriff said tomorrow, hey man, I worked it out and everyone's open carrying, here's your open carry permit, I'd be like, yahoo, yeah, good. I would just wouldn't go to those stores where those businesses or wherever that they wouldn't let you have a gun in there. But
I probably wouldn't either, but I am in favor of open carry. And I'm also in favor of instead of having a pistol, I want a long gun. And the reason for that is, if pistols were so doggone good, why do they issue our military long guns?
Well, you know what? I think we should talk about that when you get back. I think that's a good subject. I'm gonna have to take a break here and do some commercials, and then will you hang on, Ron? We can talk about it a little bit more.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure Brian wants to add to this conversation also. So this portion of the show is brought to you by Patrick Gorman. Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Are you not getting the treatment for work injury because of denials? Patrick Gorman, 530-262-2168. Good buddy of mine. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
The crime scene near a condo building not far from Truist Park where the Braves play. An undercover police officer spotting the suspect and calling for backup. Laura Winters, Atlanta.
With inflation still raging, the Federal Reserve has taken action that will cause rates on credit cards, auto loans, and mortgages to rise further. The central bank hiking a key interest rate another quarter point. It is the annual National Day of Prayer. Virginia coordinator Glenn Lutz says that many Christians underestimate the power of prayer.
People really are not aware of how effective prayer can be if we will pray in righteousness.
And the theme of this year's event, Pray Fervently in Righteousness and Avail Much. That's derived from James 5:16. Wall Street off sharply following the Fed's latest interest rate hike. The Dow down 338 points. The NASDAQ off 57 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
People ask me sometimes, Lance, I'm worried about my finances and I feel bad because I shouldn't be worried, right? I realize that inflation is going to be eating up money. I've got to do something to get around this crazy stock market and Biden's spending spree. Gold has, since the beginning of time, been the resource that God's people have relied on. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, is what the prophet Haggai said during a time of great shaking. To protect your retirement, I recommend that you diversify your 401k or IRA right out of paper assets and into physical gold. And the best way to do that is with Gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. I want you to text the words FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and get a free info kit on gold IRAs. There's no strings attached to this, so just text FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and see what I've discovered here about gold and its ability to stabilize your investment and create a storage of wealth for you in unsteady times.
The Senate delivers a bipartisan rebuke of President Biden for suspending tariffs on imports of solar components.
The Senate has passed its version of a Congressional Review Act resolution that would reverse the president's two-year-old suspension of tariffs on foreign-made solar components. Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden joined with the president's Republican critics and told the Hill, quote, I support full enforcement of U.S. laws that defend American workers and manufacturers against trade cheating, especially when it comes to clean energy. President Biden has already promised a veto. The House passed its version of the resolution last week. Bob Agnew reporting.
Israel's military says it has killed three Palestinians wanted in connection with an attack that killed a British Israeli woman and her two daughters. The military says a fierce gun battle broke out when the army entered the heart of the Flashpoint West Bank city of Nablus earlier today. News and analysis, townhall.com. Facebook accused by the Federal Trade Commission of misleading parents and failing to protect children's privacy.
It involves the Facebook Messenger Kids app. The FTC says Facebook parent company Meta misrepresented the access it provided to app developers to private user data. The FTC wants to make sweeping changes to a 2020 privacy order with Meta that would prohibit it from profiting from data it collects on users under 18. This would include data collected through its virtual reality products. Meta called the announcement a political stunt, being singled out while allowing Chinese companies like TikTok to operate without constraint on American soil. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Volkswagen profits tumbled 30% the first 3 months of the year despite booming business in Europe and North America. It's because sales fell in China. That's where the German automaker faces growing competition from homegrown models. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Brian, you want to be Carl? You want to be Linda?
No, I'll be myself.
Carl, Linda gone today on assignment somewhere doing something very, very important. You know, they get those press passes, man, and they do some great stuff. I mean, they're at the National Finals Rodeo doing interviews. And, I mean, you know, they're since technology, you know, with the advent of the mobile mobile transmission unit, they can go anywhere they want, really, in the world, connect to the Internet and make it happen. So that's awesome. Cool. So, Ron, you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Right on. So, the last thing you said before we went on break was interesting, and I do hear a lot of that. Well, you know, why don't we just carry long guns, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have my say, and then I'll let Brian have his say. The reason we don't carry long guns is because, number one, they're very difficult to carry around with you day to day, right? Like, Brian and I walk around with a gun on every day, and we feel protected. I wouldn't want to have to be responsible for a rifle that I'm carrying around, day in and day out. In addition, CCW allows you to carry your firearm in your body, inside your vehicle, whereas a long gun, like a rifle, can be carried in a vehicle anyway. It just has to be unloaded. So that, you know, that could be something as simple as laying, you know, on the back seat with a magazine on the floorboard. I mean, that's legal. And so the CCW allows you to carry a concealable firearm in the car with you, and which is, you know, which is reserved for those who are vetted as safe and trusted, right? So, yes. So, Christine, just tell Terry we'll get right with her, okay? All right. Brian, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I teach the carbine class. I love all things long guns. They're my favorite, you know, firearm. But for personal protection, you know, the FBI has done a study where they canvassed multiple years, decades even, of self-defense incidents. And that's where they came up with the 333 rule. Most life critical incidents happen within 3 seconds, 3 yards with 3 shots. And so when you think about that life critical incident that happens realistically for us as individual citizens, I'm not talking about LEO, I'm not talking about the military, but just as everyday citizens, it's happening in that quarter of 3 to 5 yards. It's really difficult potentially to manipulate and manage a long gun in that close quarters type of environment where your attacker can easily grab a hold of that long gun and then it loses its efficiency. A handgun is much easier to produce in those close quarter combats and still have effective and efficient use. But it's all situational. Even when we talk about home defense and how you navigate your house or your property, it's really about the layout and who else is in the room. So I'm not against using long guns in like home defense situations, but kind of like with what Ted said, I think as everyday citizens, I think the concealed handgun is the perfect balance of effective deployment of usage and concealability. And also in the scenarios where we're going to be in life critical incidents where we retain the advantage as a defender.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Hey, Ron, listen, I want to thank you so much for calling in today and giving us your question. We got another caller on the line.
Okay, that's
too bad because I do have more to say about long guns.
All right. Well, you know what, Ron? If you want to hang on, we can talk about it. I want to get Terry going. He's been waiting, okay?
I'll call back in a little bit then.
You bet, brother man. Terry, how are you today? Terry? Are you there? Did he hang up, Christine? No, he's still there. Terry?
Nope, he is not there.
Yep, he's not there. But, you know, until he gets back on. Is he on? Terry, can you hear me now? Yeah, they're having a problem with the phones. Oh, he's calling back in.
He really wants to say something.
I can hear it. Yeah.
And, you know, even with long
guns. Hey, give him a second. He's going to call right back, and we'll put him right on, okay?
Okay, you bet.
Okay, thanks.
You bet.
Good. With long guns, like when I walk around the street, you know, I think it's being able to feel a semblance of normalcy and having people walk around with firearms that equate to military takeover, that can also cause a little bit of insecurity, I think, with the public. So
Right. All right, Terry, you on.
Yeah, you know, I just needed a couple of minutes of your time
here.
First of all, a CCW is a permission slip. It's not a right. I had a long talk with Sheriff Johnson, and we discussed this. In a county of under 200,000 people, a sheriff can issue a 26150 B2, which is an open carry permit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The sheriff looked at me, and he said a word that you guys have been using this morning, and that is, he said that I believe in the right of the Second Amendment, but I will not allow an exposed weapon. And I said, how do you use the word allow and right in the same sentence? The word right means what it is. It's a right. It's not a permission slip. It's not anything other than your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion. Now, in saying that, when I asked him about that, I said, what's your problem with open carry? He said, well, it might make my officers nervous. We get extra phone calls. And I said, really and truly, a right is something that that you have as a police officer. You have a weapon that is exposed for a deterrent, correct? He said, yeah. And I said, well, if I'm out walking on the river trail with my grandkids, shouldn't I be allowed, since it's legal to have a 26150 B2 open carry permit, to be able to do that in the park, so that if somebody coming by there that's a crackhead or something, they'd be able to be deterred by my particular weapon showing? And he said, I believe that concealed carry is tactically superior. And I said, well, if it's tactically superior, then why do you open carry? Well, because it deters crime. So the idea of the employee, and that's what police officers are, and this is no slight to the police officers in our city. I think we have probably the best police department in California. However, that is a right. It's not a permission slip. And I think that with the 26150 B2, the open carry permit, he can allow those. So my question is if you have a concealed carry permit, why aren't you automatically allowed an open carry permit, a 26150 B2, because it fits within the confines of the penal code, in the fact that it is a county under 200,000. And he said, because again, he doesn't want to have an exposed weapon. And I said, well, isn't it when you guys are teaching a class, or whenever someone qualifies for a permission slip for a CCW, isn't it really the discernment of when you use the weapon? That's what you guys have been talking about all morning, is discernment.
Sure.
When you use the weapon, how you use the weapon, what the safety is. So if they have the discernment with a jacket covering their the weapon, then what happens when the jacket's open?
Well, so you're saying, you know, what happens when the jacket's open? If somebody can see that firearm?
Yeah, exactly. And that's my whole point is that if you have the discernment to have a weapon and you're carrying it, it's basically against the Second Amendment to not have that right. And I don't know if you guys know the ruling of the Supreme Court case with New York Rifle and Pistol.
Oh, yeah, we're real familiar with it. We would not be masters of this if we did not know the Bruin decision, for sure. And I understand,
okay.
We understand what the Bruin decision, you know, has, and the implications for the California laws, and of course at the Ninth Circuit now.
So. Well, there's a case going on right now, which is Baird versus Bonta.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we're going to win it because of this reasoning right here. If the conduct of the individual complies with the plain text of the Second Amendment, the conduct is presumably constitutional. The burden then falls completely upon the government to prove that the regulation the government defends, CCWs, etc., was widely held and accepted in 1791 when the Second Amendment was ratified. So in the plain text, in the Supreme Court decision, when history conflicts with the plain text, the text rules. History, after the founding, can only be used if it confirms the plain text. 20th century rules and regulations have no bearing upon the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not a second-class right subject to different sets of rules than other enumerated rights, the Supreme Court of the United States, as of last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, I get all this, and I understand the safety, and I get all that. I'm just saying, when you have people that are saying that we won't allow this, and it's a right, how can you then maybe they can't allow our free speech? I mean, really and truly, it is about the discernment. And even if you want to play within the ridiculous California laws, a 26150B2 for you two gentlemen should be able to be issued to you automatically when you get your CCW.
Yeah, and if that was something they did, I'd be fine with it. I wouldn't have a problem with it, right? I mean, I've worked in Arizona and I've worked in open carry states, and I've got up off the range and went to Subway and with an open firearm on and got a sandwich and did all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't that, the communities had not been changed that much because they were used to it. But I'll tell you, regional norms are important. Right? Regional norms are
that
important.
That has nothing to do with the right.
And that's because I'm not arguing with you because I agree with you. Why would we argue the same point, Terry? Right? I agree with you completely. But what I am saying is it's a stretch for any elected official in this state. It is a stretch, except for maybe Patrick Jones, right?
Just to clarify, I understand you. That's all. Just
right.
If I may. Sheriff Johnson will not allow you two guys to have a 26150B2 open carry permit that at your particular discernment, you would use that. If you're in McDonald's or at the movies, you're not going to open carry.
Yeah, but the problem is,
there are those that will.
It's
a law. And why not, if it's the discernment of the person, then if they don't really know what they're doing and you've given them a permission slip to do something where you believe their discernment is correct in what they're going to be doing, then that is the whole issue. You don't use a weapon only when your discernment tells you to. I mean, there isn't any clear, that law wouldn't be there for a county under 200,000, and that's there. Because people in rural counties a lot of times can't get law enforcement to help them.
Right, right. And good for us in those rural counties that they normally carry firearms nearly open anyway, right? I mean, you go up to Modoc County, and I'll tell you what, Tex Dowdy, he doesn't care that, he doesn't
care. Sheriff Johnson made the comment at the Board of Supervisors, if he sees somebody open carrying, he's going to arrest them.
Well, that's up to Sheriff Johnson.
Just made the comment. I mean, it's public record. It's not
I'm not saying that it, but that I'm sure he did because it's a law. At this time, you cannot open carry.
No, it's not a law. He can issue a 26150B2.
But he must issue it first, and so everybody.
But he won't do it.
Well, I get it. But that's Sheriff Johnson's deal, not my deal.
Your deal is the Second Amendment.
My deal is the Second Amendment, and if I cared enough, I guess I should run for office. But I haven't, and so since I haven't, and I haven't been elected, I advocate for all Second Amendment rights and constitutional carry. We have 27 constitutional carry states right now, so obviously someone out there thinks it's fine.
You think?
Yeah.
It's a training issue, my friend. For the officers, it's a training issue. Just like when you put in a stoplight, people get 4 weeks to see, gosh, I guess there's going to be a stoplight here.
Yep. Hey, Ron, Terry, we got to take a break.
Not a problem.
Hey, thanks for your call. Very interesting. And thanks for bringing up that 21652. Very good. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
celebrate with old friends this May for our 30-year anniversary celebration at Wind River Resort and Casino. We'll have daily drawings, giveaways, specials, and entertainment to fill your days with fun and excitement all month long.
And a chance to win $300,000.
You won't want to miss this. This will be our best year yet, May 1st through 31st. For complete promotion or event details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi friends, RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Esteban Carreras Chupacabra, 10th anniversary. A medium to full-bodied gem. The 10th anniversary comes wrapped in an oily San Andres leaf. Nicaraguan filler and binder round out a beautiful, complex smoke. With notes of cocoa, pepper, nuts, and earth. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Gold Leaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Music. I like that song, man. That's very good. All right. Back to Free Fire Radio. Good morning, Redding. Ted Leidy here in for Carl Bott. Carl and Linda are on assignment today. I'm here with my very good friend, fellow instructor, Second Amendment advocate, Brian Ream. We just had Terry on the phone. Good conversation, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
very good.
I mean, I get it. We both agree on one thing. If the sheriff tomorrow said, hey, you could open carry, I'd be, yahoo, yeah, let's open carry. It's freedom. You're going to get more people in jail. There's no question. Ron or Terry doesn't think so, but I'll tell you what, there are going to be mistakes made. And I don't have a problem with it. It's freedom. It's what happens. You commit the crime, you do the time, you know, you have laws, you abide by the laws. But, like you said, we cannot cue the torches and pitchforks and expect, to get something changed like that. I just came back from the California State Sheriff's Association conference down in Oxnard, just a week or two back. I mean, you know, I met so many sheriffs, elected officials in their chosen counties, great Americans. I mean, fantastic patriots who, by the way, are not the favorite of California politicians.
Yep.
Right? They're not loved like you think they are. Okay. And talked a lot of them about open carry. And so a couple of them I'm thinking of are very rural counties, even more so than us, right? And they said, look, my people mostly outside of town carry how they want to carry anyway. You know, they don't come in contact with good people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they hadn't issued because of the same problems we were talking about. And they didn't really care. Okay. All right. Hey, Ron is back. Ron, welcome back.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
You know, I don't see why we can't have a long gun. I've had occasions to either use a long a rifle or a shotgun. I'm not going to go into it on the air, but I've had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why you can't carry either or. I'd like to be able to carry a long gun in my my vehicle in a lockbox, and I don't want to have it unloaded. I want to be able to pick it up and take the safety off or put one in the chamber, and I'm ready to go.
Right, right.
And so this is where I'm coming from. And you never know when somebody's going to shoot at you across the parking lot. That happened in, what was it, Vegas, where that guy was shooting out of the hotel windows or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody had a long gun there, they could have taken that guy out, and there wouldn't have been so much carnage. And another thing, I don't think we need to have our weapons registered, because it didn't work very well for 60 million Jews. Hitler went in, and when the Nazi Party took over, they knew where all the weapons were at. They went in and they confiscated them from the Jews, and from there they put them on cattle cars and shipped them off to Auschwitz and Buchenwald and other names I can't even pronounce.
Of course, of course. So, we all agree with that. I don't think there's anybody that thinks that firearms registration is not tyranny. If you mentioned it in most of the states in our great country, they would laugh and say, "No, that, you start registering firearms, that's the beginning of the end, right?" And there are those that that have written California off because of those kinds of policies. But we're here, and we tend to make the most of it. And just so you know, there are some sheriffs, I'm not going to mention who, that don't mandate the gun registration for your CCW. Right, because it's not the California Penal Code. So, at the end of the day, that you have those freedom-loving sheriffs out there who are making those, who have not made the changes over to gun registration.
Too bad ours isn't one of them.
What's that?
I said, too bad ours is not one of them.
Yeah,
because when they don't do that, they are infringing on our on the citizens' rights. And are they waiting for another murder? I mean, we've got look at our town. My God. Drugs are awash in this town, and these people are out there in la-la land somewhere. Some of them are absolutely, positively, positively belligerent. I've run into them. I know I'm talking about.
I agree.
And
I agree.
So, when they won't, he needs to look up the word infringed. I was there when he took that oath of office. I took the same oath of office in 1961 when I was 17 years old, and I've been following that ever since, even after I'm out of the military. And you can't handle a long gun. Have you ever watched the training videos of the Navy SEALs?
Oh, yeah. I'm real familiar with all the training with the carbine. You know, I'm a retired Army dude myself, so.
So you know what.
I know what they can do. I'm familiar with it.
This is where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
They're infringing on the citizens' rights. I mean, my God, that 60 or 80-year-old lady, they beat the snot out of her.
Oh, yeah.
I almost had a problem about a week ago with this guy's dog. And anyway, I'm not going to, I'd talk to you by ourselves, but I'm not going to in the radio. But our sheriff will not issue permits and stuff like that. He is infringing on the citizens' rights. So that's where I'm going to.
I got it. All right. Hey, Ron, thank you for your call today, brother. It's good talking to you. We've got Stone on the other line, right? Christina, Stone? Stone, are you on?
Stones is here. I know you're coming up on a break, so I'm not sure if I can get this in for the break.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can get started if you want to hang on to it. In about a minute and a half, we'll go on break and then come back. How's that sound?
So I want to update everybody on a felony investigation that is not occurring and that should be. My county CCW permit was yanked by former Sheriff Lysenko. On the form, it read not law-abiding. No convictions, no red flags, no restraining orders, no nothing. what happened? Then I sent I filed a felony complaint with current Sheriff Johnson. They, Mr. Vesenko committed a felony, Penal Code 115. He committed a felony against me by filing a false instrument that would be the document, the BOF 1032. To this day, after many phone calls, certified letters, many of them, Mr. Sheriff Johnson refuses to acknowledge and begin a criminal investigation on a former sheriff taking away a concealed weapons permit from a law-abiding citizen. And nobody's asking Mr. Johnson, hey, Mr. Johnson, can you please give us an update? It is absolutely being hidden, and I'm very unhappy about that matter.
First off, I'm surprised that's the case, but I can't comment on what's going on because I don't know.
I will send you all the documents.
I'm sure it's true. Listen, we got to go on break, Stone. Do you want us to talk about this a little bit more on air after we get back?
I would. Thank you.
All right, stand by. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. It's Free Fire Radio.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., Tribal Chairman of the Redding Rancheria. We are so proud to have partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Rodeo Week, featuring an opening prayer and national anthem, all in traditional Native languages. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community, so we couldn't be more excited by this partnership, from grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events. We are invested in the community and its people. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Dry Creek Station in Bella Vista is now serving lunch. Enjoy grilled chicken breasts, beef ribs, fish and chips, a salmon filet, or their fabulous burger menu. Try their lunch special, taco salad with your choice of steak, chicken, or prawns. Kids' meals are also available. Dry Creek Station, open Tuesday through Sunday, serving lunch from noon to 4, dinner from 5 to 9, and happy hour from 3 to 5. Dry Creek Station at 299 East in Bella Vista, where quality and value meet.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Ray Stone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Now at Turtle Bay Museum, Tree Houses, Look Who's Living in the Trees. On display now through May 14th, featuring immersive and educational exhibits for kids and families of all ages. All about trees, animals, responsible forestry, sustainability, and more. Come explore the museum, forest camp, wildlife center, gardens, and more with the whole family. Tree Houses, Look Who's Living in the Trees. On display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Presented by Cheryl Bambauer. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., Tribal Chairman of the Redding Rancheria. We are so proud to have partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Rodeo Week, featuring an opening prayer and national anthem, all in traditional Native languages. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community, So we couldn't be more excited by this partnership, from grants to help local businesses and government, to making healthcare available to so many, to our own community events. We are invested in the community and its people. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Love that song. Don't you love that song? That's a baseball song.
That's a good song.
Yeah, I love that song. That song's like...
It's a great road trip song.
It is a fantastic road trip song. So, Stone, so back on the line with Stone. Understand what your beef with the sheriff. Don't know if we even need to talk about it anymore because, I'm sure it's an issue. Something is going on there, and I don't know enough about it.
There's a little additional information. I'm a co-plaintiff in a current lawsuit that was mentioned today. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, when Mr. Basenko was still in office, he showed up at a Tea Party meeting, or I think they were called Reading Patriots, something like that, on Turn Creek Road. It was at that meeting in person that I informed him I was a co-plaintiff. I'm here.
Okay, we're still here. Yeah, we got another call.
Okay,
coming in, so.
That was the day I let him know I was a co-plaintiff on that case that named him, Mr. Basenko, as one of the sheriffs that were not following the penal code relating to certain carries.
Right.
And it was not long after that that Mr. Basenko yanked my CCW. Now, I have a LEOSA credential,
mm-hmm.
which, because I'm a law-abiding person, my LEOSA credential is valid. So
sure.
I'm still able to carry, but I still... Now... when I confronted Mr. Johnson on this matter, he did what was called an administrative investigation,
mm-hmm.
and he closed that out, finding no fault of Mr. Basenko, which, of course, I wholly disagree with. But he failed to do the criminal investigation, and that's what I've been trying to pursue since now. One thing Mr. Johnson did for me, which I asked him to do, he did write a letter to DOJ and have them remove that verbiage from my 1032.
Okay.
So they removed not law-abiding. But you know what that means, Ted?
What?
That means I have a CCW revocation on file with DOJ with absolutely zero justification on it. Yet my CCW is still revoked. And now the justification line is literally blank. Yeah, yeah, figure that one out, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, my criminal allegations to this day, they're a year and a half old now. Mr. Johnson's sitting on this for a year and a half. He never has written me back and said the case is unfounded. You have not met the elements of the crime. You're outside the statute of limitations. I have never received anything like that from Mr. Johnson. So that tells me that my allegations are valid. Anyway,
I know this is something that you've been carrying for years now. And I want to know that I'm feeling it. Brian is feeling it. I know you personally. And I know what kind of person you are. And, I don't know what's going on there, but I just want you to know that I appreciate you sharing with us this morning, and I hope you get it resolved here directly. In fact, I'd be happy.
I sure hope so, and I do appreciate the airtime because while Mr. Johnson is doing certain things, he may be doing well in the marijuana eradication. He may be doing well in other areas. He is failing in this particular subject matter gravely. So, anyways, I appreciate the time today, you guys.
You bet, man. Have a great day. All right. Christine, are the phones clear? All right. Let's go back to work. You know what? That's important talk.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a fan of the sheriff. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not a fan. I mean, and I'm not just a fan of anybody. There are lots of elected officials. Well, not lots, but a few that I don't really care for in this county. Personally and professionally, there's some that I really like, right? And I always trumpet the ones I really like. That's just the way it works mm-hmm. with people, with all hosts, right? But, I mean, there are just details about every situation that we don't know about.
And we have to be willing to, I think this is what I always see when there are things where it's like, okay, wow, I don't like how that sounds, or I had a similar experience, or I don't believe that. Like, what's our response? Do we turn our ears off, you know, when the caller comes on and brings accusation? I always ask people, what was your response? Is it automatically discredit the guy because you don't believe him, or you know the Johnson, you know Sheriff Johnson, or this or that, or do you support him? I mean, it's our ability to keep an open mind and hear everybody out is what helps our community heal and move forward. I really don't like when you just live in an echo chamber where you just surround yourself with people who are saying what you want to hear.
Right.
And we don't grow that way. We don't solve problems that way. And so, you know, you hear things like that where it's, oh, that's not my experience, or I don't believe that. It's like, well, maybe you should take the time to listen and be open-minded, and let's kind of let everyone have a voice. Like you said, Ted, during the break, we got to give everybody a voice because everyone's in this community. And the only way we move forward is give everyone a voice and really pay attention to what pain points are and move forward together. We're not going to lop off or exile people who don't agree with us from this county.
No.
I mean, you can't stand for freedom in this great constitution, this great country, and behave in a manner. So I'm just saying the way we get the end never justifies the means. And we have to be open to hear everyone and let everyone have a say and work together. That's
absolutely
my two cents. I'm sticking to that.
Oh yeah, no, I totally agree. That's why I take every call and I talk as long as I want to, right? I mean, that's just the thing. I want to hear what they have to say, because whether or not you feel like right now it's valid, it's valid.
Yeah.
It's a person in our community. They have a say in how they feel about Sheriff Johnson or how they feel about a supervisor or whatever, right? It doesn't matter to me. They may change my perspective.
Yep.
And they may change your perspective, right? I mean, you woke up this morning to come to this show, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock, right, 5:30, and you were one person. Tomorrow, you're going to be different.
Yep.
Every single day, our perspectives change. And they change through people's communicating to us, teaching us things, telling us things are going on, making us curious about what we believe to begin with, right? And once you identify that as a characteristic of a healthy mental lifestyle, that you're never going to be the same when you wake up from one day to the next, you start to embrace it, right? And what that means is sometimes you will sit and talk to somebody who you think, you know, he may not have anything interesting to say. They may shock you with what they tell you, right? They may absolutely shock you. I always tell Carl when we talk about hosts. Of course, he was pumped that you're here because, you know, Carl loves you. But I always tell him I'm going to pick up the first homeless person I find on the street outside, right, because we're right downtown. I'm going to bring him here and set him down, and we're going to have a conversation. And I'm not sure what he's going to say or she's going to say, but I'm going to listen, and the community will listen, right? And it may change your perspective on things. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. As far as I'm concerned, everybody should be up on their feet every day putting on boots or shoes or whatever and going and, you know, earning their daily bread. And they should be proud of it. Doesn't matter what they do, right? I don't care, you know, I have kids, right? I have three boys. And I always told them, and we'll tell them to this day, look, I don't care what you do. Don't commit crimes. Don't hurt your neighbor, right? But station in life, I mean, I'm a gun instructor. I mean, what is that, right? I tell people what I do at weddings, or, you know, my wife, who is, you know, an executive, I go to one of her functions in very high level, and people ask me what I do, and they always say, what? You know, what?
It's the best job in the world, man.
Yeah, oh, it's a fantastic job. But it's, you know, it's the idea that we should be proud, in far as I'm concerned, that we have a community and a radio show where you can call in and talk about whatever you want, and I'm happy to do it. Right. And
awesome.
As far as station in life goes, you know, I love everybody. You know that. I love everybody, man. I don't care what you do. As long as you're not hurting others.
Yep.
You don't hurt others or steal. In the army, the thief is the biggest sin, right? Because all your gear's out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place to secure it because there's no, you know, I mean, you're on patrol or you're in a different country. There's no place. So a thief is the guy. So I'm programmed, right? The Army programmed me to do two things: to hate thieves and to hate eating in the dark. I hate eating in the dark.
See what you're eating.
I can't see what you're eating, man. They can hide whatever they want in it, right? I mean, you know, I've ate enough meals in the dark, that I do not like eating in the dark. I'll go to a restaurant, really nice one, you know, where every booth is dark except for a candle. Mm-hmm. I'll go sit somewhere else. I'll tell my wife.
Can I have like five more candles here, please?
Yeah, I don't want to eat in the dark, man. Too easy to hide stuff in. your food.
That's funny.
You know? Well, yeah, because, you know, Army cooks are the best cooks on the planet, but sometimes they get a little bit behind the power curve, right? They got 1,000 men in the field. They got to feed 1,000 men. They only have enough, you know, bought enough shrimp locally for 500. Who knows what they rounded that out with, right? I'm not saying it ever happened to me. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it happened to you, Ted.
You can tell, yeah. You can tell. So, anyway, that's my take on that. I love it.
Yeah.
Stone, Ron, Terry, thank you for calling in. So important. And that everybody has a say. And by the way, I'm going to be here tomorrow. Doug LaMalfa will be calling in at 8. And I think I've got some guests from the Reading Gun Club coming in.
Ooh, fun.
After Haven Humane leaves at 7:15. Mm-hmm. So that should be cool. This should be a good show, too. Not to talk guns all the time, but what else am I going to talk about, right? I mean, you know,
it's what naturally comes out when we get in conversation, right?
Well, yeah. You know, people tell me all you do is talk about work. It's my life. It's not
work. It's passion.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're passionate about building homes, you get a bunch of home builders together. What do they talk about? Building homes.
Well, you have the privilege of doing something you love for work, right?
Right.
That's what we all aspire to do.
Yeah. It is fun. All right, well, we are going to take our break right on time. If you're thinking about purchasing an electric car, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and your charging station. Visit the cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. We may talk about EVs when we come back. I'm all interested in electric cars, you know. All right, we're going to take a break, and we will be back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Hi friends, RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Esteban Carreras Chupacabra, 10th Anniversary, a medium to full-bodied gem. The 10th anniversary comes wrapped in an oily San Andres leaf. Nicaraguan filler and binder round out a beautiful, complex smoke. With notes of cocoa, pepper, nuts, and earth, get yours today, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Locally owned and operated for 27 years, La Cabana at 1335 Market Street invites you to stop by and enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sundays. La Cabana serves traditional dishes, homemade chili rellenos, carne asada, and carnitas. Dine in or take out. La Cabana, 1335 Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 530-242-1915. That's 530-242-1915.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Great bump music. We got the bump music connection going here, Christina. Nice work. Thank you. Thank you. So put a lid on our conversation with Ron and Terry and Stone. Do the best you can every day. Don't go to jail. Stay within the law. Do the best you can every day. Make sure you carry every day. It's important to carry a firearm every day. And be happy that you do live in the best county in the state.
Oh, we do.
Our county is a haven, you know, from refugees from these other counties that have been ruined by poor policy, right? San Francisco could be to the point of the no return, right?
Yeah.
Could be the point of no return. So I choose to be happy. You look outside, we got Shasta Bali, he's got some snow on it. Get some cool weather and some rain.
I'm an optimist. That's how I live every day.
I totally am.
That's why we get along.
Yep. I love them all.
It's always good.
Yep. It is always good. It's better than the alternative. That's for darn sure. So I really wanted to talk about your, role in the community as a business advisor. We got about 10 minutes or so. So let's do that. Let's talk about, the Shasta Cascade Small Business Development Center.
Yep.
Important, important organization, right here in Reading. Give us a little rundown on it.
Yeah, well, the SBDC is actually one of many, amazing resources available to Reading and Shasta County. There are so many, at no cost to the client or customer, services available. And so the SBDC is just one of many, and I just want to highlight that because we are not the only organization in town that is really focused on helping small businesses. And that's because I believe firmly that small business is the backbone of any type of economy, and culture is shaped by the economy. So small businesses really have an important say in how the culture of a community goes. And so the SBDC, we are funded by the SBA as well as programs within the state of California. And we offer no cost advising to small businesses. And when we say small businesses, that's a very broad category.
Right.
So we're talking the revenue cap for small businesses in the tens of millions. It's, and employees are in the hundreds. So, you might not think you're a small business, but you probably are according to the SBA. And we offer no-cost advising to small businesses. We also offer no-cost advising to entrepreneurs that want to start a business. And that's actually a lot of my passion, is helping people take an idea maybe they thought of while they were doing a job that they were just not unhappy in.
Right.
And they have a solution, or they see a problem, they want to have a solution. And, okay, how do you convert that into revenue-generating business? And we also offer free workshops and webinars. We do have some where you have to pay. QuickBooks might be one of them. But just yesterday, we had a business plan free workshop. And so I participate in a lot of those and with other advisors. And we have a how to start your business. We have advisors that really focus on different expertise. Like we have someone who focuses on credit and finance. We have someone who's an HR expert. We have someone who does marketing. A website. I mean, so any phase or need of your business, we typically have an advisor here in our office that we would consider an expert for that area. And it's at no cost to the small business. And we also have a network of over a dozen different advisors that we can reach into for other needs that your business might have. And so it's just an amazing resource for the community. We've helped raise a lot of money for businesses who need capital, you know, a loan or a grant. And then we also, you know, focus on everything from helping get out of debt to helping grow your company. How do you scale? How do you get new employees? How do you pivot? And so we're really just wanting to see small businesses thrive and providing all that. And again, it's at no cost to the small business. So there really is no reason why you should not be a member of or client of the SBDC. We also have a sister organization. It's the Women's Business Center, hosted at JEDI, and they do the same things. They're focused on women-owned businesses, and so we have a lot of the same clients. They can do nonprofits. We tend to focus more on for-profits. That's what our funding is for. But there's so many other resources that we partner with, like SMART. There's APEX. There's so many, the VBOC, which is the Veterans Business Center here locally. And we all kind of have the same
Veterans
mission.
Veterans Business Center, huh?
Yep.
Did not know that. Same kind of advising
it's
and consulting.
Exclusively focused on veteran-owned businesses.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
And a lot of my customers, our clients, are veterans as well. So you don't have to just go with one or the other. You can sign up for all three. I have some people that are women veterans, and they are clients of all three. And so it's like different flavors, different styles of advising, and they just want to maximize their resources. So I highly recommend if you have a small business to sign up as a client and just see what we can offer or what challenges you're facing and how we can help you grow. It's a lot of fun for me. I love it.
I think that is so important. Now, what's the phone number down there? Where's it located?
Oh, the best way is to go on our website. It's www.sbdcsc.org. That's sbdcsc.org. And then there's a place for you to sign up for services. There are some criteria that we need in order for you to become a client, which usually applies to everyone, but you actually, you know, we have to have some sort of, we call it economic impact in order for us to offer our advising. And that usually means you're looking to grow, you're looking for capital funding, you know, you're looking to start a business, things that are going to actually help you grow and impact the community in a positive way.
Oh, excellent. I think I'm probably going to come down there. You know, I mean, I've got two small businesses right now, and you know, sometimes it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I've had NFI for 12, 15 years now, and it works fine. Right. I mean, it's a simple thing. Mm-hmm. Right. I got great instructors. I got a good business model. Excellence is our watchword. You know, I mean, it's simple when you do that, but, starting a business. I started a new business. You know, we have a gun shop now over just east of Shasta Lanes off Lake Boulevard. And we got a gun shop and classroom. And some of the challenges, you know, administratively that come up, you know, the licensing, the permitting, all of it that comes up is very, very daunting. I mean, even for me, and I've had a business.
Yeah.
I can imagine what it would be like to start a business without ever knowing anything about running a business.
That's the biggest challenge. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And so there's no reason for you to stay in the dark when there's so many great resources that are at no cost to you. So come in and find out what you don't know.
Right, yeah.
Because it is challenging. So we get people all the time that come in and they feel like they have to do it on their own. Well, no, you don't have to do it on your own. You need to have coaches. You need to have mentors. You need to have friends and community. And so SBDC, we just play our role as that mentor coach to help walk you through what needs to be done.
Right.
And so it kind of removes the ambiguity and the unknowns as much as possible to help you be successful.
So important. Because, and you know, like me, I'm busy. I don't want to ask for help. Right?
There's that too, yeah.
But I need to. And you said something to me one time that has impacted me. And it was a year or two ago. You said to me, you work in your business too much.
Yep.
You don't work on your business yep. enough. And that really impacted me. So I try to do activities that are working on my business, but I got into the business because I want to work in the business.
Right.
That's why I want to be a gun trainer, right? I want to sit on a gun range with people. I want to teach concepts. I want to I want them to understand the responsibility. I want them to know the trust, right? I want them to be safe and responsible, to protect our rights. And, you know, I really didn't want to, you know, work on licensing. But that's the kind of thing that really will kill you.
That's real. And most small businesses are in their business because they're an expert at what they do. And so working in their business is easy for them.
Yep. But
having to worry about payroll and books and laws and all of that, that's where it's a struggle. But if they don't do that, then their business is not going to be viable. So that is so important to work on your business and make sure you have the resources available to help you. You don't have to do everything on your own, but find those people that can help you do what needs to get done.
I'm going to start going to the seminars. You're going to start seeing me in there. You've motivated me. I'm so glad. You know what? I just want to thank you for being a great person, a great family man and husband, a great community advocate, a great protector of our rights and freedoms. And I'm just proud to say that you're my friend. So
thank you, Ted.
Thank you for coming in, and it's I can hardly wait to have you come in again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
It's been awesome.
Listen, Redding, I'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Doug LaMalfa is my guest, along with Haven Humane and the Redding Gun Club. Thank you for spending 2 hours with us this morning. Be proud of who you are and what you do. And was it Sue that said, you matter, you're trusted? What'd you say, Sue?
Oh, I'm here. I always...